Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Fish on a Heater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that has a cute new costume for Halloween. DeFi, hi.
Hey, what's going on? You know, Fish, I can't lie to you for anything longer than just a short bit. So, hey, it's me. It's Chris. Not DeFi, unfortunately. Hey.
You just gave me a shock.
Oh, geez.
When
you
pulled off that DeFi mask, I'm like, whoa. That was great. Where did you get that made? That was incredible.
That's right. Jeez. We actually worked together. I drove up, up there for a weekend, and we made a whole, cast, the whole thing. You wouldn't believe it.
Wow, yeah. That must have taken a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, you two are very busy people. I'm impressed.
Intrepid.
So we usually give to tell us who you are, how do you fit into the PvP space? But I'm not sure either of those two questions apply to you.
I don't know. The first one might. You'd be surprised how many people listen to just PvP Corner. I know they exist because they have come up to me and told me as such at live events or sent an email and been like, hey, I'm looking for PvP Corner. So I'm okay.
Okay. Wow. You go. It's a little bit like, oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. But so I suppose just to be extra thorough. Hi, I'm Chris. I am the host, one of the co-hosts rather, for GoCast on this very same podcast feed. And one of the two co-hosts on the brand new Star Piece as well.
Yeah, which I've heard the first episode with Cricket. Really, really quality. Lachlan,
oh, thanks.
Great co-host. And you three had just a really delightful conversation.
It was a lot of fun. Did you get through the whole thing? Did you hear me trying to pronounce Australian places?
You did pretty well. Okay. We've got some great ones as well.
Yes.
I've had other podcasts. Yeah, I'm going to reveal this now. I've had other podcasts. And we did have a segment once where we just went through a whole list of funny Australian town names. Yeah. Like Humpy Bong, Woolamaloo. Wow.
Did you say Lomamola? What was that?
Woolamaloo.
Woolamaloo?
One. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a Wooloo split evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. Wooloo, yeah. Wooloo, Dubwool, and Woolamaloo.
Yeah.
So we've got some good ones. As far as PvP goes, I have always seen you as someone who you haven't dived as deep into the whole nuance that is PvP like the rest of us have, but you've shown an appreciation of the depth and the nuance and the ecosystem that is PvP just from afar. Which is pretty similar to how I feel about Taylor Swift.
I'm far less successful. Let's just stop the comparison there. I liked it. Up
I'm sure
then.
You can sell out Madison Square Garden one day. But
That's right. Yeah.
That's on my mind at the moment because my way tangent, but my cousins, we've got a big group of us. I'm an Italian, so there's a lot of us.
Sure.
We've got a chat group and one of them messaged us to say, hey, guess what? We're all going to see the Taylor Swift movie coming out. And the girls were like, yeah, we are. And the boys were like, are we? And so they kind of roped us into doing this. I've now spent, $30 on a movie that I've been warned I'm going to hate every minute of. It's a very battle of the sexes kind of thing because the guys are just making all these jokes about Taylor Swift and the fandom and all that, and the girls are like, we're accepting this, but don't do any of this in the cinema. Just sing along.
I feel like it's completely okay to like not understand Swifties, but I will not abide by somebody not being able to appreciate what that is going to be. Because my understanding is that this is just basically like a recording, like a movie version of her show that she had for Eras Tour, which is the most recent tour, most currently ongoing.
I think so. Yeah.
I just know that all my friends in Chicago freaked out when she was here. And the production quality of that show, regardless of how you feel about music, is still going to blow you away. So I challenge you, and actually, no, I know already. I don't even have to challenge you. You're going to find silver lining in it and love a part of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I was getting at, is like, even though I don't have any interest in getting into that world in any sort of depth, I do have an appreciation from afar of her as an artist. And what she's been able to do, how she's been able to turn her life into art.
Gotcha.
Taylor Swift corner.
Well, I suppose as far as this metaphor goes, I think you're pretty close. And it's not because I like love PvP, but I've gained a little bit of information along the way. I really gave it the old college try the first couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. Went to the first regional for the first Sylph tournament and stuff. That's how I met DeFi. I think we've mentioned that before. Yeah. And I don't know. I like it. And just because I exist in this space and talk to other content creators and like talk to you and DeFi, that PvP is a conversation topic that comes up, and it is impossible to not have absorbed at least some of it by osmosis.
Yeah.
And having been to NAIC last year too, my understanding and appreciation of the community on that level, not even at a competitive nuanced battle level, but just like what it means to be a PvPer. Like I gained that appreciation tenfold by going to that event. I don't love doing PvP, but I love PvP, especially for what it does for the game, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly why DeFi and I are doing this podcast 141 episodes later, is because you did recognize that much earlier than what the Play Pokemon circuit was able to show us. Like, this is back when it was just Sylph, before even Go Battle League, I think. I think Go Battle League was a thing by that stage.
It was before Go Stadium, before Go Battle League, before anything else. It was just Sylph for a hot minute.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think it was it post-COVID that we started the podcast? 3 years now, so 2020. Which, by the way, we haven't mentioned that yet. It's DeFi mentioned it on the podcast that, by the way, last week was our 3-year anniversary.
So, we're celebrating your 3-year anniversary by excommunicating DeFi and bringing me in instead. No, DeFi is feeling a little under the weather, so I'm just filling in if anybody's curious. So
yeah, yeah,
yeah. But happy anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. Happy anniversary to DeFi. I got to make sure to get her a present. It's also her birthday month as well, so even more reason to do so.
Oh my gosh. What's the 3-year anniversary gift? You know, because they have one for each of the – I can never remember what it is. I always have to look it up and then promptly forget.
3-year
anniversary
gift for him or for her? Is there a gender –
Well, let's just imagine that you're trying to send one platonically to DeFi. I'm curious what that would look like.
The traditional gift theme for 3-year anniversaries is leather.
Oh. Yeah, I got nothing. I got nothing that I can say on this podcast, at the very least.
So, with that said, let's get into our GBL section for this week. Chris, off air, you were telling me that you did do some GBL.
Yeah, I did. I did like 20 rounds of Sunshine Cup over the past few days, which for me is a lot of battling.
Yeah. So first I'll ask what team you went with.
So what I did is I went to PV Poke. And I looked at, you know, who was doing well on the rankings there. And from there, I decided on a Pidgeot lead. And then I was using a Shadow Gligar in my second, and then a Bombasnow as my third. I have since swapped out the Shadow Gligar for a Shadow Swampert.
Ooh, and why that change?
Because I was already getting double coverage between the Pidgeot and the Gligar. And mm-hmm. yeah, although where I'm at now, which is, oh geez, I'm really showing just how how poorly I am at keeping up with this.
We have no judgment here.
42 battles this season, 33 wins, which I'm very happy with, but it's because I'm rank 9. The Pidgeot lead is starting to fail me. Oh. Yeah, it was great for the first few, but no.
It can be hard to use because it gets a lot of its wins from debuffing opponents. Yeah. There's a really careful balance that you have to strike between when to debuff and when to nuke and debuff yourself recoil in the process.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm finding the matchups against a Talonflame and trying to see what gear we can kind of cycle in and out of, if I can outpace their flame charges or not. That's been interesting to navigate from my perspective. But yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I like Sunshine Cup. It's cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun cup I found. So I was, back when I was doing Sunshine Cup, right now I'm doing Great League, but when I was doing Sunshine Cup, what did I have? I had Talonflame and then double normal, I think it was. So double and Vigoroth.
Yeah, I'm seeing Vigoroth and double too. So
that makes sense. They're very popular. Yeah, and so Talonflame is like one of the few Pokemon, I believe, that can beat Gligar, Vigoroth, and Steelix. So that, for me, made it a really nice lead. And then, like, if you swap in a Vigoroth, the only really, really hard counter to a Vigoroth in this meta is Trevenant. And if they do happen to have a Trevenant, then, you know, once they take care of the Vigoroth, I've got the Talonflame waiting to come back in to farm that down. So,
yeah.
So I felt like that was a pretty good team.
Yeah, that's I can already tell you that's got much more coverage and thought put into it than the one I made. I could not pass up an opportunity to use Pidgeot because I love Pidgeot.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It is a fun Pokemon. Yeah. I cannot disagree with you there. And so what rank have you gotten to at the moment?
9.
9. So at that stage, I think you are you have to get a certain number of wins to progress to level 10, but it's like still not that many, right?
I don't think so. I think it's like 5 or 8 or something like that. Okay. It's not 2 fulls. It's, yeah, I can probably go like 3-2 and 2-3 and make it, or 3-2 and 3-2.
Yep. So for what I've actually been doing this week is failing.
My man.
it's been very frustrating for me, actually, because I was with my Great League team. I was talking about it last week. It was a Charjabug lead with Umbreon and Alolan Sandslash, and I was just climbing little bits at a time, just like 15 point gain, 13 point gain, 18 point gain. And then 2 days ago, got an 0-5, and then a 1-4, and then another 1-4, dropped 140 odd points.
Ooh.
I described last week the sensation of trying to climb in GBO as being like Homer Simpson trying to climb the Murderhorn. And that was the moment where he like faints and just starts sliding down the mountain and just completely erases all of that grueling climb that he had. So like that caused me to just put the phone down for a solid day. It was the first time actually this season that I haven't done all of my sets in a day.
Oh man.
But now I am picking it up and just slowly starting that climb back up again.
Well, I believe in you. I believe in you. And we're coming up to another cup rotation here too soon, so you can like shift gears and get a fresh start.
Absolutely. So that is a fantastic segue to get into what those next cups are. So October 20 to 27, we have the Ultra League and the Halloween Cup, a very popular cup each year. One of the most balanced custom metas that Niantic has come up with, fortunately enough. So it is a Great League Cup with Poison, Bug, Ghost, Dark, and Fairy types eligible. The PV Poke top 10 is XL Carbink, Shadow and Regular Golbat, Toxapex, Greninja, Shadow and Regular Nidoqueen, Mandibuzz, Shadow Scizor specifically, Jellicent, XL Pawniard, and Hisuian Coolfish. Do you have any thoughts, or is it just no, move on?
No. I gravitate towards the two on here that I know I already have built and I've had a lot of success with in the past, which is Shadow Nidoqueen and Mandibuzz. So for me, it's finding a third, which would probably logically be Carbink in this sense, because that would give me the most coverage, really. But I don't think I have a Carbink that's worthy of this.
Yeah, Carbink is going to be a very difficult one to build, because that one requires a lot of XLs.
Yeah, I really did not go hard for it like everybody else was going at GoFest. Mm-hmm. I was too busy doing other things, like shiny hunting, things that I was not catching, and talking to people. So I guess maybe I'll try to see where I'm at with that, but maybe Golbat, who knows?
I wouldn't say Golbat's a good replacement for Carbink. Golbat, because of that, you know, flying typing and the things it's trying to counter, I think is a bit more of a replacement for Mandibuzz, if anything, the Nidoqueen as well. Yeah,
with the Poison Fang.
The Poison Fang, right. And having that poison typing, so it has those same resistances. The only real difference is that the Golbat will be weak to electric type, where the Nidoqueen would double resist.
Yep.
But I don't know if there's much electric type damage happening.
No, unless people are going to be bringing like Vikavolts in here.
Yeah.
You can't use Zergatry, so.
No,
I think that's it.
Okay, actually, I'll look up what the highest ranked electric type Pokemon is, or electric user is. Here we go. So Charjabug is actually the highest ranked electric user.
You know what? I actually knew that. Somebody mentioned that to me. I just didn't store it in the proper folder in my head. but yeah, no, isn't that, and that's cool. And it also got the Community Day move on the Community Day in addition to Vigavolt. So yeah. That's pretty
and
cool.
What I didn't know and what it cost me was that there have been moves that have been introduced on Community Day that have not required an Elite TM afterwards, like Blaze Kick on Blaziken or Razor Shell on Samurott.
Yeah.
But Volt Switch on Charjabug is an Elite TM move. I didn't know that at the time, so I didn't evolve I had a rank 1 Charjabug. I didn't evolve it.
Oh, and boy.
It's been an Elite TM to use.
Oh, well. You got tons of those, right?
Yeah, plenty. They're dropping out of the sky.
That's right. That's right.
And just a quick run through the Ultra League top 10 on PB Poke at the moment. We've got Registeel, Shadow, and Regular making up 1 and 2. We've got XL Steelix, Shadow, and Regular. Cobalion, Cresselia, Shadow, and Regular. Regirock. Zygarde Complete Form is in there. Giratine, with the legs. Irizion, Shadow Swampert, and Greedent. It's looked a little bit different from the last time I looked through that top 10.
I do love seeing Virizion on this list. Zygarde Complete just makes me sad.
Yeah. So how many cells do you have?
Like 6.
Yeah, I'm like 3.
Yeah. I get distracted super, super easily. Mm-hmm. I really wish that it was automatic, that once you were within range of the Zygarde cell, that it just sucked it up into your cube automatically.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me why it doesn't do that.
Yeah, it should.
Because I'm usually busy talking to the person I'm walking with, you know, like, sorry.
Busy being social, Niantic.
That's right, doing what we're supposed to do.
Greedent there is sneaking into the top 10. I really love a Greedent. Greedent also has to be XL, I think. Let me double check that. These notes were thankfully written by DeFi. So shout out to her.
Yep.
But yeah, don't know if the Greedent is meant to have the XL. It is. So a rank one Greedent is level 50 with IVs of 3, 15, 15.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's got like really good coverage. Body Slam and Crunch. It's the only two moves that Greedent knows, but it can hit a lot of types for at least neutral with that moveset. And then it just comes out so fast with the Mud Shot. It's 4 Mud Shots to every Body Slam and 5 Mud Shots to every Crunch.
Yeah, I went against one in Sunshine Cup and they were spamming Crunch and it was actually pretty crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was nuts.
So that is Ultra League and Halloween Cup. From October 27 to November 3, we've got Master League and Halloween Cup once again. So the Master League top 10 at the moment is Zygarde Complete Form sitting at the top of the rankings. Giratine R is now second. Groudon, which I believe was number one before, has now been relegated to third. Dragonite, Shadow and Regular, Xerneas, Shadow Mewtwo, Zekrom, Kyurem, Meloetta, and Rayquaza.
I never touch Master League. I use Dialga, I use a Mewtwo and a Dragonite and a Groudon. Like, those are the four I kind of swap between.
Now, I have probably just as much experience with Master League as you, actually.
Nice.
Those four sound like they would fit together pretty well.
Yeah, they do. They do fine. I just don't like the experience of playing Master League.
Really?
It takes
okay.
too long. Yeah, it's a big kaiju fight at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
I mean, that sounds appealing to me. You just said
I'll watch the movie. I'm not going to play the game, though. You know, like...
Then from November 3rd to November 10, we have Great League and the Great League Electric Cup. It is a single-type cup, only electric types allowed, with Unovan Stunfisk, Heliolisk, Charjabug, and Vikavolt all banned. Might be the most restricted meta we've ever had. The official rankings aren't out yet, but you pretty much only see Alolan Graveler and Golem, Garvantula, Luxray, and Hisuian and Cantonian Electrode. Maybe some Magnezone or Manectric. Slight chance of Cloudy with a chance of Ampharos. Togedemaru or Dedenne. And those are like fringe picks as well. So you definitely won't see much more out of that. A lot of people, if they had access to a Shadow Luxray with the ground type hidden power move, that was a cheat code for this cup.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think it would be wise for Niantic to just ban it outright, since that's just an obnoxious thing to get. But at the same time, it is cool to sort of reward innovation around that and be like, oh, hey, I got lucky, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they haven't banned a Pokemon, a specific move on a Pokemon before. So I imagine they would just ban Luxray outright. Or they could get innovative and say, you know, if they can find a way to say, oh, this particular move is not allowed, code that in somehow.
I think they could. I think that would be, it has a chance to break things.
Yeah. Probably best left alone.
Quite a bit. It would somehow break showcases once again or something like that, you know.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Chris. There is some sort of bug where if you try and battle while you've got your Go +++ connected, there is a reasonable chance that the battle will freeze up on your end.
Really?
Yeah. Just completely freeze up. Like, not even one of those ones where there's been bugs in the past where you've just been watching your Pokemon get fast moved down. It's not even that. It's just everything is frozen on your side. They are still attacking you. But
that's a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. So
it's like Pokemon Go Night Terrors. Oh my God. You know what I'm looking forward to in this cup the most, I gotta say?
Yeah.
Getting shield baited by Mirror Shot and Magnezone.
Yeah, what a fun experience, right?
Yeah, every time. Yep, I fall for it every time.
And Togedemaru with the Fel Stinger. So it's like the same energy as Mirror Shot, but it increases the power of the wild charge that you know is coming.
So yeah, it's a time bomb at that point. It's just a timer, yeah.
So that's GBL for the next few weeks. Let's move on to our next segment, which is the in-game events. And we've got a few coming up. So we've got the Halloween event coming, part one and part two. Part one happening on the 19th to 26th of October. Of course, you can listen to the main show, the GoCast podcast with Chris and Kyle, to get the full details of the event. But we just look at it from a PvP perspective here. And interestingly, there is a debut coming in, Grievard. That's how you pronounce it, right? Grievard?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I hope that's right.
It is straight ghost type with Lick as a fast move and Psychic Fangs, Shadow Ball, and Dig as charge move options. Kind of interesting because say it up front, I don't think it'll make a big splash in the meta, because it's, while it does have reasonable bulk, and Ghost is a nice typing, the problem with most Ghost types is that they don't have the tools to hit back against the dark types and normal types that wall them so much. And this Pokemon won't be any different. With Psychic Fangs and Dig, it can at least hit for neutral against a lot of things, but you're not really getting the coverage against the things that you're most weak to, which is kind of what a Pokemon needs to really propel it into the top meta.
Yeah, I don't think we're really going to see an option to that until we see something like Mimikyu come along that can bring Fairy along for the ride as well, to sort of balance out, be an answer to like a Sableye.
Now, I didn't know that, because I don't know much outside of Go. And Mimikyu's not in Go yet, is it?
Not yet, no. But Pikachu in a Mimikyu costume.
That's what it was, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Fairy Ghost, is it?
Ghost Fairy. Get it right. Yeah, no, it doesn't make a difference. Kyle gives me a hard time every time, so I have to forward it. Yeah, it's Ghost Fairy. It's going to be great.
Triple resistance to fighting.
Yeah.
Neutral, like poison would be neutral against it because the ghost is resisting the poison types.
Is it?
Yeah, ghost resists poison.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Right, yeah. And so like fairy type is weak to poison, so they cancel each other out. So this ghost fairy type would be weak to other ghosts. Steel.
Yes.
And that's it, I think.
That is pretty much it. Yeah.
Double resist dragon.
Fairy does resist dragon, I believe.
Yeah.
I think really the only downside is that, like what you already said, it brings poison up to neutral status.
Yeah.
But poison isn't really pumping out the numbers except for the occasional sludge wave, right?
Yeah.
But other than that, that's not really a big threat. Yeah, Mimikyu's gonna be strong.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's gonna be strong, I bet. Yeah.
What's its stats like? Is it like the similar stats to Pikachu, for example? Like, if that's the case, then it might not get to required level.
You've got me with that question. I am going to imagine that it's probably similar to other Pika clones like Pachirisu, Dedenne, Togedemaru, because they all kind of fall into similar lanes, right? Probably going to predict XL Mimikyu being a thing.
So the wonder of the website that is pvpoke.com.
He's already got it.
Their rankings, like any unreleased Pokemon, don't appear in like the official rankings for each of these leagues. But if you go into the battle page of the website and type in what does, Clodsire do in the meta, then you can run simulations yourself. And so I've typed in Mimikyu, and it's got no problem reaching Great League. It's got a stat product of 1863 in Great League, which let me find a comparison for that. So Vigoroth is 1948. What is Frostlass? Frostlass is 1861. So very, very similar to Frostlass levels of bulk.
Okay.
And which is not that recall, high.
I mean, yeah, but I recall Frostlass being used quite a bit.
Yes, definitely. It's got a wonderful moveset. The current moves in the code, according to PvPoke, are Shadow Claw or Charm as a fast move. And the charge moves are Play Rough, Shadow Ball, or Shadow Sneak. So you wouldn't worry about Shadow Sneak unless that gets a buff in future. But Play Rough, Shadow Ball, two pretty high damage moves, but again, very comparable to Frostlass. Frostlass does have the edge with Shadow Ball. Obviously, they've both got the Shadow Ball. Frostlass's other move is 45 energy, whereas Mimikyu's other move is 60 energy. So might make it a little bit harder to use, but I'm glad to have like another ghost that's not weak to dark. Actually, you can actually take on the dark types with this.
Mm-hmm. I'm just really hoping that they put charm on it.
That'd be disgusting.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be very clear then if they're like out the gate, here you go, it has charm in it, it doesn't just have something else, even as a solo option. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we understand what this is going to do to the meta. Here you go. Yeah.
And like nowadays, when DeFi and I look at a new Pokemon, we always just think about it in terms of the play Pokemon meta.
Sure.
And so it would beat Medicham quite handily.
Yes. Quite finally, handily. Somebody.
Right. Yeah. I imagine Umbreon would probably have the edge over Mimikyu if it's running Shadow Claw, but the Mimikyu would win running Charm, is my assessment.
Yep.
It would still lose to Lickitung, which is the second most popular Pokemon. It would still lose to Registeel. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, it depends on how well it could tank a Zapcannon and how much. Because Zapcannon is a neutral. It definitely wouldn't bother throwing Focus Blasts. And then it would just depend on how much damage you could dish out with the Shadow Claws and Shadow Balls. So that might be an interesting matchup.
And that is if you didn't take Charm, right?
So yeah exactly. Yeah.
So
you've got choices to make.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, that has nothing to do with Halloween event. Let's get that back on track.
It doesn't. But yeah, just to sort of like wrap that whole thing up, you know, Houndstone not necessarily having another place in the meta because we were talking right before we got started here. Like Golurk would have filled that role. That would have brought that level of focus to where that could have been if it was going to be that, but it's not.
But one move update, as DeFi always says. I think DeFi is actually like legitimately popularized that too. Like I heard one of the other, like one of the European shoutcasters saying that phrase, and I'm like, DeFi, nice. you go, girl.
Nice.
You do get candy bonuses during the event, and the spawns that you want to look out for. Zubat for a Golbat in Great League. Also, Crobat can have some play in some Ultra League metas. We've got Ghastly for a Haunter. Spinarak can make a good Ariados. Once again, can be a really good custom meta, restricted meta, darling. Drifloon for a Drifblim. Litwick to evolve into a Chandelure. DeFi, why'd you put that one in? Chandelure is not meta. Phantump. So make a good Trevenant, which still has plenty of play in Ultra League, not quite as much in Great League. And she's also put Sandygast here with a question mark. Palisand, I did mention to Chris just before the show started recording that I did face my second ever Palisand in Great League. And I did beat it, but it gave me some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So it can have some play. It's that ground ghost typing, so same thing as Golurk. It's like if you want a ghost type with ground damage, then may as well go the Palisand rather than the Houndstone.
So the Litwick call out, wasn't Lampent usable in some scenarios?
I don't think so, no. The only thing that's potentially coming to mind is maybe like the Evolution Cup, where it was only middle types.
That might have been what I'm remembering that from. Yeah.
Then like Dusclops was such a force in that meta that like I don't think it made it very pleasant to try and make Lampent work.
Sure. But it's a candle and it's cute. You should catch it.
It is cute. Yeah, catch it because it's cute, if anything. Yep. She's also mentioned here, Phantump is shiny and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it is true. It's a great shiny.
Yeah. It's like, it looks so much more like a ghost.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and you know, the other one makes it look more like natural because it's the color of bark and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a very good silvery shiny.
And from 7 kilometer eggs, we do have some event hatches for that. Munchlax is great in a lot of restricted metas. So is Riolu / Lucario and Galarian Yamask for a Runarigus. Again, all three of these more restricted meta things, like they wouldn't work in as much in open Great League. Lucario and Runarigus, I think, do quite well in Ultra League. And now that I think about it, of course, can't forget Master League. Snorlax in Master League and Ultra League as well will work as well. Next up, we have the Halloween event part 2, which is happening from October 26th to 31st. Much more of the same. The research Pokemon that you want to aim for are Galarian Remask and Phantom, just like with Halloween part 1. But you know what? I want to maybe read out the spawns to you, Chris, and you can tell me what you think with your trained PvP eye.
You got it.
Of what spawns you want to target. So we have costumed Pikachu. Give me a yay or nay.
If you should care about it?
From a PvP standpoint.
From a PvP perspective, probably not, but he looks dapper. He is a good dapper costume.
Yeah. It's a really cute costume.
Yeah.
Vulpix.
No.
Ooh, I would say I think so.
Does it evolve?
Anto Ninetales. Oh, if it doesn't evolve, then no. Well, I mean, it's Vulpix has plenty for of play candy. In little cups.
Oh, I mean, yes, I've used one.
Yeah, there you go. It's really good with either Quick Attack or Ember and Body Slam and Weather Ball as charge moves. But if it doesn't evolve, then that's its only application. Which
I can't remember if this one does or does not evolve, but it's the same costume as last year.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I probably don't have one to look up then. We could have a whole conversation about like how you manage your storage.
Oh, I don't.
There we go. Conversation done. Murkrow.
I remember it being so much more important, and now I feel like nobody talks about it. The Honchkrow.
Is just too glassy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you've got Mandibuzz there. Generally, we favor bulk. Over mm-hmm. high attack in PvP, generally.
But it was the flying Gengar, more or less.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah. Misdreavus?
I don't, Miss Magius I've seen used, but I don't remember it being overly popular.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sableye?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we all know that one.
Yep.
Piplup.
Empoleon gets some use, but I would imagine that you're not dying for Piplup candy at this point. But if you are, it'll be out in an acute costume.
Yeah, I agree with that. In Ultra League, there was a team running around for a while, which was Empoleon Double Dragon, which was very potent. So like
I want to see that movie.
It's a great band.
Yeah, Empoleon, heavy metal crouching band. Double dragon.
I don't know if it's as popular now. Maybe because of the introduction of the Swords of Justice, like a Cobalion will be able to beat all three.
I mean, it's also the steel typing that it gets as a secondary for Empoleon makes it really susceptible to fighting types, and everybody has fighting types in spades, and fighting types has made its way into, like, Pokemon that are used in Master League and Ultra League, and I feel like there's just a lot of counterplay for Empoleon. Like a much safer pick for a Hydro Pumper is Swampert.
The advantage though is that if you're running two dragons in your backline, then the Empoleon is much better at taking out the fairies, which would threaten the dragons.
True.
So that the idea with a team like that is, say, if you lose the lead, you swap into one of your dragons. If they try and counter with a fairy type, for example, or an ice type, because Empoleon does really well against the ice types as well, then, your dragon will go down, but then your Empoleon comes back in, is able to resist everything in spades and comes out with a whole bunch of energy and can often use that to overcome, say, fighters that it might have encountered in the lead.
Yeah, and it also can learn Drill Peck, so I mean, it has some counterplay even against its weakness, so there is that.
Yeah, which is, like I was saying before, what we look for in a Pokemon is things that can at least take it up to their counters, their usual counters. Yeah. Drifloon.
Yes.
To an extent. It's, again, another, like, there's a lot better ghosts out there, but it's one of those ones that, again, restricted meta, it can do really well. Your mask,
But you want it for the candy for Runarigus, right?
Cofagrigus, I think, is still good.
Okay,
it has that same problem that we talked about with other ghosts, which is it does, like, you get it matched up against an Umbreon, there's nothing you can do,
okay,
but it has the bulk. And I think it's a little more accessible than the Runarigus, because, you know, you have to specifically, for Runarigus, you have to specifically catch a Galarian in your mask, and you've got to do 10 raids to evolve it. Coffinregus, you can just, you know, get a regular in your mask, get the candy for it, and evolve. I personally prefer the Unovan your mask myself.
Yeah, I think they're both cool, but the original Unovan your mask, I think, is so much creepier with the face mask.
I think you're right. Zorua.
No, you can't even use it, right? So
can you not use it in PvP?
I mean, it's just using anything that has transform is just objectively a bad idea.
Okay. I'm sure I've faced a Zoroark at some point not in GBL, like in a custom meta. So maybe it's allowed in friendship battles.
I'm not 100% sure. I was hoping you knew. but no. It's cool to catch it, and it has the shiny sparkle on it, which is sick for this event.
Yeah,
I would not be falling over myself trying to get it for PvP.
Fennekin?
No, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
listening to it, because right now I've got the image up, so I can't see your face. The way it sounded was just like, no, of course not.
Yeah, and then, right?
Yeah.
My confidence is at an all-time high.
Phantom?
Oh, yeah.
Trevenant. 100%, yeah.
All day.
Pumpkaboo?
No.
And Noibat?
No.
No, that's right. Uh-huh. You did pretty well.
Yeah.
I'll give you a B plus.
60% accuracy.
A-minus even.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow, okay.
Yeah, you did well.
There's also this Gengar wearing a Trix and Treats costume.
Of course, yes. How do you rate that?
I mean, I don't see people running Gengar. I'm sure you can do it in certain builds, but it's not very safe.
More prominent in Ultra League.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of people running it with Focus Blast as one of its moves, because then if you use it as a switch in and they try and counter with Snorlax, a Focus Blast actually one-shots a Snorlax in Ultra League.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine Gengar's attack status through the roof. So.
It is, yes, yeah, super high.
Makes sense. Whew.
It's so nice to watch if you're the Gengar user.
Like, oh yes.
And then suddenly you've got your switch alignment. You know, you can match your dragon type against their Swampert from that point, and
yeah, and then they throw out a Groudon, and you just get bodied.
All right, so that is the Halloween event. We've got more, though. November Community Day is coming up, and it has been announced that the Pokemon in question is Wooper. Not only that, though, we are getting a new Pokemon into the game. The Paldean Wooper is being brought into the game, and along with it comes its evolution, Clodsire. Clodsire is a Poison Ground. You're a fan of this one?
I'm so excited.
So excited. Yes. I've heard you talking about this on the main show, yeah. You tell me about it. What do you know about it?
Okay.
Just from a PvP perspective, just what do you know about the Pokemon?
Okay, good, because I have no idea when it comes to a PvP perspective. I mean, it's another Mudboy, though, right? It's cool. It's ground poison, so that's awesome. It might steal some Thunder away from Nidoqueen. I guess we'll have to see what the actual moveset is going to be. I see it's listed here, but I don't know for sure until it's actually released, right? Mm-hmm. But
that's right.
It's also my birthday, the community day, so it's a big deal. Yep, it's going to be great. And Wooper is just a perfect, perfect little boy. I love Wooper. I love the Galarian Wooper. I love everything about it. Not Galarian. Paldean Wooper. Mm-hmm. And Clodsire is a gift. Just a gift. It's wonderful. Big
fan. I had not seen an image of it until today.
Great. It's big blobfish energy, man.
Blobfish energy, such a derpy boy.
So good. Yeah.
The shiny looks like that should be its regular color.
I agree. I think when it comes to who wins out of those four for shiny, it's original base Wooper.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, that's a good pink.
So here's Clodsire from a PvP perspective. Like Chris mentioned, it is a poison ground type. Now, Nidoqueen actually has not been the darling in the last few seasons that it was, because Poison Fang a few seasons ago, the energy cost was raised by 5. And so it takes Nidoqueen 6 poison jabs to get to the poison fang, where previously it would only be 5, and that has made a very significant difference. So you don't actually see much Nidoqueen these days. Now, having said that, there was more than one player in the Sacramento regionals to bring a shadow Nidoqueen into their team and make it work. So maybe there's a little bit of a groundswell for it. But again, that extra poison jab that it takes to get to the poison fang does make a huge difference.
Earth power is strong too.
Earth power is very strong. So
yeah,
Clodsire as of now doesn't have an equivalent move to earth power. It's got Earthquake, which is 10 more energy, but it wouldn't have the same kind of closing power as a Shadow Nidoqueen's Earth Power, because it's a very defensively weighted, defensive or HP weighted Pokemon. So it's got a stat product of 24-10, which is huge. To put that into comparison, that is rank 1 is 24-10. Azumarill at rank 1 has 24-52.
Oh, so it's pretty close.
Very comparable to that, yeah. Also, Cresselia, I think, is 24-46. So it's kind of just one tiny bit under Cresselia in terms of bulk. Very bulky.
Azumarill has higher stat product than Cresselia?
Very marginally. Just by the
still,
it's
still an insane sentence. Still crazy. Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Azumarill's always been known as being one of the bulkiest Pokemon in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
The current moveset, Poison Jab or Mudshot as fast moves, which can give it really flexible play depending on what you need from it. Its charge move pool is Acid Spray, Earthquake, Sludge Bomb, Stone Edge, and Surf, which is very similar to the Johtonian Quagsire, except instead of Mud Bomb, which the Quagsire would have, Clodsire has the Surf, which is the same energy, just a different typing. For the Community Day move, Quagsire is getting Surf, so that kind of matches that up, so that kind of completely invalidates what I just said. And Clodsire will get Mega Horn. So Mega Horn, very hard-hitting move, and it will allow Clodsire to hit back against Psychic types, because the poison typing gives it a weakness to Psychic. So yeah, that'll be really interesting. Again, bring it into like play Pokemon. Its matchup with Medicham, it does beat it with Poison Jab, not Mudshot. And that's in all even shield situations. So it is a Medicham counter, even though Medicham is running the Ice Punch and Psychic that are both super effective against it. If Medicham is running Power Up Punch and Psychic, then that gets a little bit iffy if it like manages to like bait with two Power Up Punches or something ridiculous like that, then it can get the Psychic off and KO. Lantern is also very interesting because it does have Earthquake, but it doesn't need it to beat a Spark Lantern. If it's just running, say, Surf and Mega Horn, it can beat Lantern in the two shields running straight Mega and throwing straight Mega Horn. It doesn't even need to bait. So that's pretty promising. Even though, like I said, it is taking that super effective damage from Surf, it does still have plenty of play against Lantern. Now, that does change if the Lantern is running Water Gun. It becomes much, much easier for Lantern. But that's kind of the same story as what we know for Lantern against any other ground type. You know, Gligar, Swampert, G-Fisk back in the day. They all did worse against Lantern if it was running Water Gun.
All right, so having just listed out all the moves and stuff like that, and even some of the matchups that you just kind of laid out for us, what loadout would you take on your Clodsire if you're going to run it?
I would probably go Poison Jab. Okay. Even though Mudshot is, you know, makes some Pokemon so dangerous, like your Swampert, I like having more of a balance of damage and energy with my fast moves, because it gives you a bit more flexibility in a game time situation where it's like, in football, American football, you've got your plays all set out, right? The ball is spiked. The offense will do their thing that they've planned out. The defense will do their thing that they've planned out. But then the longer the play goes on, the more everything will break down and it just becomes make it all up on the spot. As far as I'm aware, yeah. I'm not super, super well-versed on the strategy of American football, but I imagine that's what's happening.
I don't really follow sports that much, but yeah, they have a play, they call a play, a few audibles or whatever. And then depending on what happens, if somebody cuts, maybe they have a double coverage in an area that they weren't planning for.
Yeah.
You change your plan. You throw to somebody else on an open route. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, yeah. So it sounds
what you're saying is right. It makes sense.
So having a move with a bit more balance of damage and energy means that you can better adapt to that kind of situation. When you're in an endgame situation and you're having to formulate the plan, this is how I close out the game, you've got other options available to you other than just relying on your charge move to, you know, win the day.
Yeah. So poison jab and what else then to illustrate this balance?
I would probably have surf and mega horn.
Okay.
As the community day mega horn. It would be nice if it got mud bomb, but failing that, because I think mud bomb is a better move than surf. I'm going to quickly double check that. They're the same energy, but I think Mud Bomb does more damage.
Yeah, but different types, you know. So,
and that's the thing. Mud Bomb would be same type attack bonus as well, making it even better.
Well, Surf would also be same type of... Oh, you're talking about for Claud, sorry, not for Quag.
Yes. Yeah. For Quagsire, I'd definitely stick with Mud Bomb.
Yeah, for Claud, Sire, it does not know Mud Bomb. It knows Sludge Bomb.
That's right, yeah, which Mud Bomb is 40 energy and Sludge Bomb is 50.
Okay, I'll trust
so
you.
It's Sludge Bomb we don't really consider a bait move. Anything probably 40 energy, 35 or 40 energy we consider like a bait move, something that you can use to burn shields in order to get a higher energy move off unshielded.
So I'm looking at Mud Shot, Acid Spray, and Mega Horn.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very different play to say if you and my Clodsire went up against each other. Yours would probably win because, you know, Clodsire is double resisting poison jabs.
Sure.
So like that, yeah, that's that kind of illustrates how we're talking about different moves for different situations. So if you are entering a meta where you think Clodsire will be very popular, then you will want Mudshot and yours will beat the one that I've stubbornly stuck with Poison Jab for.
The only reason that I went that route is that it's very similar in feel, I would assume so, with how my Alolan Muk was in Ultra League that I was using. A lot of Acid Spray spam. I'd catch some shields, but like the debuff is just so good on an otherwise tanky Pokemon that can just stand there and take it while also being like spray, you know? So I would love to do this same thing here. Since it has such a high stat product, it'll probably hang in there just as well.
Well, there's another thing to consider though, if you are running Acid Spray, is that an Acid Spray can make your poison jabs very potent as well. So if you wanted to run poison jab with Acid Spray, then you could really just overcut. Like, you might be in a situation where you don't even care if your opponent shields the Acid Spray or not, because you know the damage is going to come from your poison jabs. So, yeah. I mean, if they use a shield on it, that's great. You know, yeah, that's one less shield
gravy
to do.
Yeah.
Which is, again, yeah, like you said, with that Alolan Muk, that was often, most often when we see an Alolan Muk, particularly in Ultra League, if it's running Poison Jab, then there's a pretty good chance that it's Acid Spray with that. And if it's running Snarl, then it's probably Dark Pulse and Sludge Wave as the charge moves. So then we do have one more event, and that is the Halloween Rocket Takeover, which I guess is part of the Halloween. I should have put that before the Calm Day section, shouldn't I? But we do have during the Halloween Part 2, the Halloween Rocket Takeover with new Shadow Pokemon being introduced into the game. They are Ghastly, Rhyhorn, Barboach, Kranidos, Shieldon, Drillba, and Litwick. Any of those stand out to you, Chris?
I mean, Shadow Ghastly is really exciting, but all of the cons that make Gengar less usable are amplified by it being Shadow, which is a bummer. Now, Shadow Rhyhorn would be great, I think, because Rhydon has some flexibility and bulk and coverage that I think would it would benefit from being Shadow. That's cool. Shadow Whiscash, I think, is by and far the big winner here, right? And ooh, Bastiodon too, though. Shadow Bastiodon would be kind of nasty. But I'm not really looking at Kranidos being PvP relevant. Drillbur, yeah, of course. And Litwick, I mean, Chandelure still has its problems.
Yeah, definitely. So. I'm really interested in what kind of effect Shadow Shieldon will have on the meta, because
my gosh.
Typically the Pokemon that benefit from a shadow boost are your attack weighted Pokemon, because all the Pokemon works on, you know, multipliers, right? And so a high attack Pokemon getting that 1.2 times multiplier on their attack damage, and also getting the 0.8 times multiplier on the damage they're taking, it means that the Pokemon that already have a high attack stat will be getting more in like real terms of a benefit than, say, the low attack Pokemon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does.
Yeah, so like a Machamp is gonna, like, if a Machamp's attack stat is at like 150, I don't know what it's actually, what it is actually off the top of my head, but if it's 150 and it gets another 20% boost on top of that, then that's getting, 30 more attack points. And like, that's oversimplifying it because it's not exactly 30 more, you know, damage points, but it's just illustrating the point that like the already high attack stat is getting more benefit than, say, something that's a low attack stat, like, you know, like Shieldon.
So,
but it's also got that fast move pressure, and it does a lot of what it does just with the pressure of smackdowns. So if those smackdowns are doing more damage, then maybe that will make Shadow a benefit to Bastiodon.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I think about it is that it is real thick. It's not going to go down even if you face tank several charge moves, I guess, depending on what they are. If it's, you know, like a dynamic punch, you probably will not walk away from two of those in a row. But most cases, you're going to be fine to absorb a few charge moves, even if it's got the shadow debuff, right? In that case, it takes more damage. But like you're saying, the damage that it does do with Smackdown is going to be nuts. And oh, Lord, if you hit with a Stone Edge or a Flamethrower or something else, like, it's going to basically one-shot something. But
So I'm really interested to see what that looks like. I imagine Shadow Kranidos and Shadow Rhyperior would be like top-tier raid attackers.
Yeah, Shadow Rhyperior will absolutely be, because Rhyperior was already up there, I think top 10, if I'm just kind of trying to remember off the top of my head. And Rampardos has really been at the top of DPS, but its TDO has always been so low. And this is going to, like Gengar, amplify that a bit. So how useful is it really? I don't really know. But Rhyperior also had some bulk, so that'll be okay. I'm interested to see Rhydon, especially in like an Evolution Cup, where it's bringing Surf for coverage, you know, and stuff like that, and its Shadow.
And also, it does have access to Mega Horn as a legacy move.
Yeah. Rhydon is, scary.
One of those sneaky Pokemon that you don't ever...
I think so, right.
Yeah. In raids, the main ones to focus on, I think, Grimer. It is Cantonian Grimer. The Alolan Grimer would be a little more useful, but we do just get the Cantonian Grimer at the moment. Nidorina. Again, if you do want to make a Nidoqueen work, then you've got that option. But Chris, Shadow Lugia is back.
I know. I'm so jazzed. Now, bring us another opportunity at Apex Lugia. Apex Shadow Lugia is what I want.
Yeah. I mean, is that... There are certain things that we haven't gotten again. Like, we always say the thing, everything comes back. But there are some things that hasn't proven true for, such as like Armored Mewtwo and so far Zarude.
Clone Pokemon, Apex Pokemon.
Yeah. So obviously you can't tell for certain, but would you guess that there will be an Apex Lugia opportunity again in future?
Gosh, I have no idea, but I sure hope so. Because I thought Apex was a really cool way of sort of celebrating a Pokemon and giving a limited number to people, so that they could potentially make it work. It's also very easy to exclude if they make one too strong, you know. Mm. So I don't see a problem with it. It's a great way to make old Pokemon exciting, and I'm kind of disappointed we haven't seen other Apex since.
So if you do catch this Shadow Lugia, then you will just have to settle for regular old Aeroblast. Boring.
Just fine. Caw, caw. Yeah.
It's fine, I guess. Yeah. But it's not going to be like Articuno and Moltres where, you know, fairly glassy Pokemon that are double weak to a certain type. Like, I imagine you would need a lot of trainers to team up to take this thing down.
Yeah, Shadow Lugia is going to have bulk. He's going to have Psychic is just strong typing to go against. I mean, think about how many people it took to take down Mewtwo. And it's got style, most importantly. So at least probably, you know, 6 to 8 trainers who know what they're doing would be safe.
Okay. Bear with me. Shadow Lugia wearing a top hat.
Style and grace at that point. There we go.
Dandy Lugia. Uh-huh. And we do have some Pokemon hatching from eggs. The main one to chase is Vullaby. You can get some XL candy for Mandibuzz for Ultra League. Or Vullaby itself does have some play in Great League. You do have to max that out to level 50. Get yourself a hundo for that. We do also have Pawniard, which DeFi and I talked about last week for Halloween Cup. And Dino, which will evolve into a Zweilous. And Zweilous is always a really nice one for restricted metas that it is eligible in.
Just clarify, those are coming out of 12 kilometer eggs and no other eggs, unfortunately.
Yes.
In addition to the rest of the usual 12K pool, which I think is actually kind of shrunk. I think there's only 7 in there, and we've seen upwards of 9. Mm. I think some of the bulk has been expelled for the event, such as Larvitar. I think Larvitar was replaced a while ago. But yeah, just to say, 12 kilometer eggs.
I love how everything in the 12 kilometer egg pool is dark except for Salandit.
Yeah. Weird.
It's like popping in like, hello. I'm practicing.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. That's definitely what Salandit sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah, like Mickey Mouse, low effort Mickey Mouse. Gosh.
Just an evil Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, he's just mad because if Mickey was a Salandit, Minnie's got so much more potential in the long run than he does.
it's Mickey Mouse crossed with Golem.
Like, ooh, I don't like that idea. Ooh, that's kind of gross. Like,
stop it, Fish. You take that back.
And like Goofy and Donald be like Frodo and Sam. I want this. I want this real bad. What I want is Lord of the Rings area of like another Kingdom Hearts game where this happens.
Oh, see, now I have recently rediscovered gaming, so I'm only just starting to get into like some of the class. Like, I only started playing Assassin's Creed a little while ago, so you'll have to explain Kingdom Hearts to me.
Okay, well, you're forgiven for not knowing. You should not ask that. No,
really?
No. It's not that I know what to say, it's that there is no good way of answering that question. The lore of Kingdom Hearts is as vast as it is complicated, as it is convoluted.
Is it like a Skyrim kind of deal?
In short, it's Final Fantasy meets Disney properties.
Right.
So you play as a character who is kind of like in limbo between the two in style, and you team up with Donald and Goofy as your teammates, and it's like a real-time combat, very Final Fantasy-esque experience. Wow. And I cannot tell you anything about the story without this becoming a 3 to 4 hour podcast, me getting 90% of it incorrect.
And so Disney Mickey's properties, a big deal would too. That include like Marvel now is a Disney property? Like, can you have Captain America?
It would. I think it would. It'd be kind of difficult, I think, with some sort of licensing since Marvel properties as a movie IP are owned by Disney, but I don't necessarily think they own the games, at least not for all the characters, because Spider-Man was sort of split between Sony and a bunch of different stuff. That's why they weren't in movies for a while. But But yeah.
All right. So that is it for the events section. Let's move on. Play Pokemon section. We had Sacramento Regionals happening on the weekend. The winner was Elite, who ran a team of Superior, Gligar, Umbreon, Medicham, Lantern, and Froslass. Hello, DeFi. He beat Bopper, who was someone who came over from the VGC, the Video Game Championship, and has already, you know, hit that elite level in Go. So really impressive. You know, it's taken me, you know, 5 years to get to this, or four years, maybe five, to get to the point I have. And this guy's just come over from another game and been like, hey, I might just give this a go. Bang.
Love it.
We had a new caster debuting, Sofftoaf, who's someone who has been around the scene for actually quite a long time. She has been casting for GBLA, which is a format run by Speediest Chief 2. It's basically it's a format that takes all the people who top the Go Battle League leaderboards and then puts them in a competition, a season long competition against each other. A cage match to the death. Yeah, each get one weapon.
Tips, lava, the whole thing.
They have weapon drops throughout the season.
That's right. It's very similar to Fortnite, but with real people that happen to be GBL players.
So, again, this is something that DeFi's had to fill in for us because I am still catching up on it. It happens while I'm sleeping. So what she has described is that the meta is solidifying into Medicham, Lickitung, and Umbreon. So Medicham and either a Lickitung or an Umbreon as a core. Some people are bringing all three. So there are lots of bulky matchups. And for the first time ever, we had a Play Pokemon game on stream, at least, time out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's I believe it's 5 minutes, like a Great League battle going for 5 minutes.
That is certainly notable. My goodness.
There was one player who made top cut that ran a Guzzlord. What do you know about Guzzlord in terms of PvP?
I don't know much, actually. Mm. I'm hoping that maybe you can tell me a bit about it because Kyle and I were at a loss.
Okay, so it's very similar to Umbreon in that it is a dark type that has a lot of HP, so it can take a few hits. The difference between the Guzzlord and the Umbreon is the fast move pressure. It's got Dragon Tail as a fast move, and it gets to the Dragon Claws every 4 Dragon Tails. So okay, it's one of those Pokemon. I've described a few Pokemon like this in the past where it sneaks up on you. It throws 4 Dragon Tails and then, you know, you face a charge move and you're like, well, this is a Dragon Claw, I can take this easily. And you do. It takes you, I don't know, it takes you down to 2/3 of your HP left. Then they throw another 4 Dragon Claws, Dragon Tails, and throwing another charge move and you're like, well, I can tank this, but should I? Then you might decide no. And then you suddenly you've got a third of your HP left. And then it just like, they decide to just Dragon Tail you down. And you're like, oh, hang on. Now I don't have any kind of counterplay. They can just literally shield anything I throw and then Dragon Tail down. And now they've got a whole bunch of energy. And now I've lost alignment. It's like one of those ones that you've got to really be able to extrapolate the kind of damage that the Pokemon will do to you over time to be able to counter it effectively.
I had no idea. That's actually really, really cool to hear, though, because I wanted Guzzlord to have a place somewhere because it's not great for DPS.
Not at all.
That's cool. Very cool.
Yeah. It's it plays pretty similar. Like, it's got the same wins and losses as Umbreon. I will say that Alolan Sandslash is not as nice for the Guzzlord as it is for Umbreon. The Umbreon can generally beat the Alolan Sandslash, especially if the Sandslash is running Shadow Claw instead of Powder Snow. And also Froslass. That's a very easy win for the Umbreon. I don't think it's as nice of a win for Guzzlord. And I think that's basically the Dragon typing does hold it back a little bit. It does give it the advantage of being really, really strong against Lantern, but the Umbreon can generally beat the Lantern as well.
All right.
Other good picks, we had a Mantine made the top cut. Mantine is kind of like Pelipper, where if your opponent's not running Lantern, then that makes the Mantine slash Pelipper like quite safe. Probably the only exception there being the, again, the Alolan Sandslash. Alolan Sandslash is just a really nice core breaker to a lot of things, which is why it keeps getting play. So we're entering like an era where everyone is bringing their own kind of signature picks, which is, I mean, I think we've kind of been in this era for a while now. I definitely was the one who started that.
definitely. Shadow Charizard, right?
Yeah. Shadow Bombersnow, Gliscor. Yeah. But yeah, so it's always fun to see people bringing in their signature picks. There was a Lurantis as well, which is really cool. Yeah.
I like that. That's cool.
Fury Cutter, Leaf Blade, and Superpower. It can beat Lickitung. Yeah, right?
That's hilarious. Huh.
Yeah, it's and Leaf Blade is such an efficient move. It's like 35 energy for like a million damage. It's a really good move.
So Sacramento sounded wild.
I'm a little bit of the way through it at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Can't wait to finish it.
Well, hopefully you got to get on it because there's other stuff coming up. There's other
events. Yeah, right. So we have Lille in France happening this weekend. Over 128 people signed up for that one. Later on, we have Toronto happening from October 27th to 29th. 75 people registered for that. Sao Paulo for LAIC, the International Championship for Latin America. That is happening on November 17th to 19th. 217 registered for that. Gdańsk in Poland, November 25 to 26, 100 registered for that. Brisbane, Australia, happening the same weekend, 46 registered for that. And upcoming, we have Stuttgart and San Antonio, not open for registration just yet. They are happening December 9th and 10th, and December 15th and 17th, respectively. And that will move us on to our mailbag. Now, Chris, if you look behind you, there's a bag on the, like a sack on the floor labeled DeFi. Are you comfortable opening that sack, or...
I think that's a federal crime. I'm not allowed to open other people's mail.
You're not a cop, right?
No, I'm not. No cop, no stop. That's right. Absolutely.
And we can safely say there are no cops listening to this podcast?
I cannot safely say that. No, I don't think
so. I heard
so.
Yes. So, tell you what. I'm going to just quickly run over there. I'm going to unstitch the DeFi. Look, I carefully embroidered that name into it. Like, I gave it to her as a birthday present, but I will carefully unstitch the DeFi name from the sack. So it's technically not hers anymore.
Happy birthday. Here's an embossed or embroidered burlap sack for you to put your, like, 1860s style mail into.
It's made of leather.
That's right. There you go.
Callbacks.
Hey, nice.
All right. So you want to reach in there, pull out the first mail.
Oh, yeah, sure. Just rummage around here. This one is from Mythic. And they said, hey, Fish and DeFi. Sorry. It's Mythic here. You guys have asked me to keep you updated on my GBL journey, and I haven't written in for a while. So here I am. I'm excited to announce I've hit rank 20 for the first time ever in the 2 years I've been playing Pokemon Go. My starting ELO was 1650, and I've reached 1750. I'm hoping to get to 1800 this weekend, as it is Go Battle Weekend. I'm also starting to develop strategies and build a team that actually works well together, rather than just building up what top 10 are on PV Poke. I feel like I'm being called out.
You feel seen.
I've been running Quagsire, Medicham, and Shadow Alolan Ninetales. I might switch Quagsire for my Galarian Stunfisk because I've been running into a lot of Victory Bell and Shadow Victory Bell. I'm starting to enjoy PvP more and more, and I'm looking forward to the year when I can compete in actual events. I've also started to set goals for myself regarding resources. For example, I'd like to have at least 60 rare candy on me at all times and 2 elite TMs of each type at all times. I like that, like having like pocket rare candy on hand. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it, like, you know, some people put like a $20 bill for emergencies in like the top of their car, like window visor. It's the same idea. Love it. My goals are to reach 150 rare candy and have 300,000 Stardust at all times as well. That's good. Have like a par system for that stuff. That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm also trying to find my local PvP community to hopefully host my own little tournament. I'm not old enough yet to compete in official tournaments, so that's the next best thing. Yeah. And in some cases, it is just the best thing. There's something very special about no shade to big events. Obviously, they're fantastic. I was gushing about NAIC at the top of the show. But nothing beats a small town, like, get together in a card shop or at a park and doing your own tournament, honestly. Thanks for all the help you guys have given me. It's helped a lot. And I'll make sure to keep y'all updated as I progress. Let Arceus smile upon you, Mythic. A real metal sign off. I love that.
Oh man, I'm so happy to hear all that. And like, yeah, there's so many elements of that message that, like, make my heart grow a size. We've talked about how, you know, resource management is such a big deal. So having dry gunpowder ready to go. I've always had that exact same philosophy of having enough Stardust, trying to have enough Stardust and Rare Candy and Elite TMs or regular TMs to make sure that if I do decide I need to build this Pokemon, I've got the resources there to do it.
Yeah, I think it's really smart. That's really, really quite smart, because you never know when you're going to need to pivot on something, especially like when a new cup comes through, or you need to swap out your second choice for another second choice because it's not working out the way you intended. And oh no, I don't have resources, but oh, thank goodness, I set this par, so I do. It's great. Very smart.
And the idea of being able to recognize a weakness in your team and then substituting a Pokemon in for that to, you know, adjust to that weakness and cover that weakness, plug that hole, that's also like just like a very essential skill that I don't think we have covered too much, but is like one of the most important ones, I think.
I would think so. I think flexibility is like the greatest tool of any competitive anybody doing anything, you know what I mean? Because it's you practice for so long, you spend so many hours doing things so that they are rote, so that they are muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to put the blinders on. Mm-hmm. But the ones who rise to the top in any sport, including this, are the ones who have that muscle memory, but are also able to be like, this isn't working, I can already tell, like, I got to switch. And then the courage to change.
And what's that Mike Tyson quote again?
You're asking the wrong person.
I know it.
Hang on, I'm looking.
Definitely not googling it.
I'm looking it up. Everyone has a plan till they get punched in the mouth.
That's the one. Yes.
Oh, that's a good one. That's right? A real good one. Yeah. I thought it's the other ones that are listed under here. When I googled it just now, was I'm a dreamer. God lets everything happen for a reason. As long as you persevere and endure, we can get anything we want. I want to rip out his heart and feed it to Lennox Lewis. And last but not least, I could feel his muscle tissues collapse under my force.
Wow.
Wow. At some point in that list, we took a left turn.
We can almost look through the history of his quotes and be like, oh, that's where it went wrong.
Yeah, it's like listening to like Eminem albums and being like, oh, this is where you were mentally at the time. Yeah.
So so it's that first one that I think is relevant here and is relevant for so many situations in life. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, and by being able to recognize what isn't working for your team and being able to adjust to that, you're adapting to the situation as you go. The next mail comes from Nabil Syduck, who says, something I've been pondering after Go Battle Weekend. How do you team build and play in Open Great League against heavy fast move teams? I'm quite meticulous in recording the Pokemon I encounter during sets, particularly on the Sunday of Go Battle Weekend. The proportion of fast move heavy teams, such as Basti, Shadow Charm, etc., was immense. My win rate over the 100 battles was 38%. Took breaks, wasn't molding. And when I read that, I picture the tone of voice like, I wasn't molding, you're molding.
Yeah.
Would love to hear everyone's thoughts. Nabil Syduck, do you have any thoughts on this?
From an inexperienced perspective, I would say, and please help correct me here.
Sure.
is that I would take a look at the meta. I would identify who I think my problems are, or if you've already been doing a lot of battles, you know, Bastiodon, things with Shadow Charm, look for things that can tank those. Look for tankier Pokemon that are answers to those. And they might not seem good at first, but if you're hard countering the thing that you are getting destroyed by, you're already in a better spot because it lets you make more decisions later. So, I mean, it's going to take a lot of like reverse engineering, and it's quite possible that other people feel the same way you do. And you could probably take a look on Reddit or somewhere else to get some other ideas. But I think starting with the problem and trying to find a solution that might not be obvious is usually the answer, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good answer. I was also going to add, like, I was going to say something along those lines, and then I was going to add to that that also being able to recognize as early as possible that that's the team that you're facing is I think, paramount because, like, I've come across Bastiodon leads, for example, or like a Shadow Victory Bell or a Charm lead, and I've, you know, played it as normal. And then when the second Pokemon comes out and it's another fast move heavy team, that's when it hits me, oh no, this is the team that I'm facing. And by then it's too late. They've, you know, gotten rid of the important Pokemon that I needed to shield earlier. Because that's the thing often with those fast move heavy teams is like, they don't apply too much. They often don't apply too much charge move pressure as well. So if you think you can tank a move, you might not shield that early on so you can save the shields for later. And then that's when it's become too late because at that point they can just fast move the rest of your team down and you know, shield their way through to winning. Whereas if you recognize early on that you're facing one of these teams, say you've got a Shadow Victory Bell lead, you know that they're about to throw an Acid Spray, you can just go ahead and shield that anyway. Like, you know that they're not going to be applying that much shield pressure to you in the late game, so you can be fine spending your shields a little earlier to protect that Pokemon. So yeah, for me, as well as, you know, the bulky type Pokemon that can take those hits that you mentioned, I would also work on being able to recognize as early as possible that you're facing a fast move pressure team.
That sounds great. I think I can apply a little bit of that to what I've been doing, you know. Jeff, definitely not at the point, like, the highest I've gotten, I think I've gotten to 19 or 20 one season, but the closest I've gotten in previous seasons has been like 16, which was last season. And at like early ranks, that's not much of a problem. A lot of people are just bringing what they think they should bring and not what they know they should be bringing.
Sure.
It's like team composition, like when people talk about that as like a way of actually strategizing, of like acknowledging and recognizing, oh, this is going to be an ABB, right? I can already tell from the A. That blows my mind. It's a practice skill. Yeah,
it's something I don't have down pat yet. The ones that I know for sure, if there's a Mudboy in the lead, so a Swampert, Quagsire, you know that they're going to have at least one Anti-Grass in the back. And if it's a if it's an Alolan Sandslash lead, Alolan Sandslash is so weak to fighters that they've got to have at least one anti-fighter in the back. So a flyer or a ghost.
Yeah.
Everything else, I think, is a little bit harder.
It takes a lot of just like marinating in the meta and playing a lot of matches. Totally. Gathering data. Yep.
So that's it for the mailbag for this week. We will have more next week with DeFi when she returns. We, as we said last week, we absolutely love answering these questions and would love a backlog to be able to always have something there for us. So if you have anything that you want to ask or even just comment on the show, respond to something we've said, or, you know, tell a funny story, or, you know, we'll even take your venting stories. I had this guy who ran triple razor leaf in we'll take those for days. We will have those contact details at the end of the show. In the meantime, let's move on to our achievements and plugs. In the Pallet Town PvP Discord server, we have Lightbox Jaden, who got her first ever 5-0 sweep in Open Great League. Fish on a Heater got 15,000 Great League wins. And what a Maxitron, guy. Yeah, that guy. get a life. And Maxitron finished their Master Ball research.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
In the GoCar server, DeFi hit Expert. Wow. Congratulations to DeFi250.
That's phenomenal.
It goes to show, like, the moment she's, like, got a little bit of extra time on her plate, bang, she just gets there straight away. Yeah, like, that's how good she is. Right.
Yeah. The only thing holding DeFi back from world domination is responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll put that on a t-shirt. I'll embroider that on the leather sack that I'll send her.
On the leather sack. That's right. Yep. Perfect.
And for plugs, Chris, I hear you've got something to plug.
Yeah, and actually, I'm so sneaky, I already plugged it. But yeah, go ahead and please take a listen to Star Piece, which is the new show on this feed, and it's with Lachlan. It's new, like I just said. It's an interview show, and our first victim, so to speak, was Cricket23, who was an excellent guest. We actually have already recorded our second one with Alfindiol. That'll be really, really great to put out, and we have a couple of others in the works. So please go check it out. Love to hear what everybody thinks about it. And I say this on GoCast, but you guys should go listen to GoCast. I say go listen to PvP Corner on there. So I guess I have to say go listen to GoCast.
Which you should, yeah. I really have always enjoyed yours and Carl's commentary on the game. I've been saying it for, like, since before I came on as a host. Like, it's... You maintain a positivity around the game, even when being critical of it,
yeah,
of Niantic and the company. Like, you can hear that it's coming from a, look, we're disappointed, but hey, we still enjoy the game. And that, you know, when I'm listening to a podcast of something that I'm a fan of, that's always very, very refreshing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and we strive for that sort of energy, so it's great to hear that it is translating.
Yeah.
And of course, likewise for PvP Corner, I'm very happy that we don't have to talk about PvP on GoCast because we don't know what we're talking about. But also that you and DeFi make it so much more understandable to me, who is, like, middle of the road sort of battler, I suppose.
Yeah, that's, I really appreciate hearing that, because that is, well, to paraphrase something we've said earlier in previous episodes, like, making it more accessible to people who have an interest or didn't even realize they had an interest until someone made it accessible for them, that's the thing that we find most rewarding.
You know, one other thing, though, too, I know we've been recording forever, but it's like, when you like something, sometimes you don't know how, you're like, I want to care about this more, but I don't know how I'm supposed to care about it more, you know?
Right.
And so, like, listening to PvP Corner is like, hey, here's the stuff you should focus on. Here's what we care about. Here's what other people care about. Here's what the community cares about in general, is just, like, so helpful, you know, for somebody who's otherwise in a silo. So.
And so with all that buttering of each other aside.
Oh, yeah.
Let's close it out. We love hearing from you. If you have any questions or suggestions for myself or DeFi, you can direct that to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail or physical mail to the GoCast PO box. Take a look at the show description for the phone number and the PO box address. In the show description, you can click on More Fish or More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us, especially with those juicy questions. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Fish. Appreciate it.